accession number 24198, Reel 7.
This is the fourth reel of a taped interview with Jim Boyd and his home in Perth, Western Australia. On the 11th of the 10th, 2002, at the Imperial War Museum in London, and the interviewer is John Bannister. Jim, we talk about your experience in Tobruk, obviously, and I wanted to speak to you a little bit more about that experience. Obviously, the longer you were there, the worse your condition became. What was how bad did your health get in Tobruk, would you say?
Very morbid, I'd try. Hemmed in. Rotten place to be.
You've spoken about the sort of general thought that you had for the place, but in terms of the condition that your body was in, how would you rate that by the time you were to leave, would you say?
I'd lost a lot of weight, I reckon. Got pretty thin. More or less a nervous wreck, I suppose. Very nervous.
We've spoken a little bit earlier on about the morale and how possibly Rommel had seen the morale of the blokes in Tobruk. Would you have agreed, for instance, that he had said that the morale of Tobruk had been low, or was this just something that you felt for yourself personally?
Oh no, I don't think it was low, just something that I felt myself, I think.
For yourself, in relation to what was going on in Tobruk, the fact that you were in a besieged position, and given the location of Tobruk at the time, being besieged, and in the rest of the world, things not going so well, how did it make you feel in relation to being sort of on your own as a force? Almost left alone by everyone else.
Yes.
Is that something you felt?
Yeah, we did have thoughts on that. Seemed to be all the news we got was rest of the world was falling away, going to the pack, and didn't seem to agree with us somehow.
What have you heard of Greece and Crete, for instance?
I think we more or less expected that they'd go, the forces were sent there to try and take the places, were too small in my opinion. Companies of men. It didn't seem to, I think they were only just sidetracking to keep Rommel busy and have him a bit worried that they might try and land on the outside of Tobruk, but it wasn't a success. But I don't think they were ever strong enough to hold them in any case.
In relation to the lack of success in places like Greece and Crete, Churchill obviously talked about the soft underbelly of Europe and that sort of thing. How did that make you look towards some of your higher commanding officers? The fact that Churchill's efforts in Greece and Crete had come to naught.
Yeah, we thought Churchill was doing a good job. But as I say, the different generals we'd had in the desert. I suppose they thought they were doing a good job too. Some of them did, some of them didn't.
Thoughts towards Morshead, I think you mentioned, were fairly high, and the morale towards that.
Yes, Morshead, he done a good job.
One bottle of Jack.
Yeah.
Colonel Lloyd, he had you been approached by him at all in your position at Tobruk, you recall?
Did I what?
Had he spoken to you at all in Tobruk?
No.
In relation to the situation in Tobruk, when was it that you knew that you were coming out?
I don't know. The furphy got around that they were all coming out of Tobruk, and it had to be kept quiet, but everyone seemed to know about it, so it wasn't kept too quiet.
I understand that there had also been talk about operations Brevity and Battle Axe in June 16th, that was aimed at trying to relieve you, aimed at trying to alleviate the situation. Had you heard anything about those two operations?
No.
So the furphy was going round that you were to leave. What was the process then that you took to get out of this hellhole?
Well, as I say, the furphy got around, and everyone was supposed to keep quiet. I think it was the 32nd Battalion that let the furphy out in the first place, and they were penalised by being the last battalion to come out of Tobruk. The 28th, I think, was first, but we heard the furphy from the 32nd Battalion. They were the ones that first let it out. They must have known about it. But we were damn glad to be getting out when it came through.
Had you been into the town at all during your time?
Oh, yes, around the caves.
And what had you mentioned that your impression had been fairly dismal on arrival, but when you'd actually gone into Tobruk during your time there, what had been your thoughts on the situation?
Well, it seemed to be, was glad to get away from the town part and get out into the outposts. Seemed to settle in a lot better of being away from the town. The town itself, the caves were used for hospitals, wounded. Wasn't much of a town there though. A few buildings. Hellhole.
In relation to the process of you coming out, presumably at night?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Can you tell us what actually took place?
Yes, we just, from our little outpost, we were told to assemble, and I suppose there'd be a batch of 20 of us. Had a guide, and they took us into town, down to the wharf, and we knew it must have been on then, the furphy had been correct, and the destroyer came in. I think it was the Havoc, I wouldn't be sure, HMAS Havoc. And that had English soldiers on board that were relieving us. I think they were the Queen's Own Rifles or something. And as they come off the front of the boat, we went on the back of the boat up the gangway, unloaded and loaded very quickly. And
you weren't able to talk to the Queen's Own?
No, never had time. They were just... I did hear one bomb say, "They're going out and we're coming in." I thought, "Hey, poor buggers." But had to be done. It must have been about 11 o'clock at night when we left Tobruk in the destroyer, full speed ahead for Alexandria. It's about 11-hour trip. But
how were you treated on board ship?
Oh, very good. They'd, I suppose, knowing that they were coming up to bring troops out, they loaded the canteen up with tinned peaches, cream, Nestle's cream, all the lollies and chocolate and stuff. And with your pay book, you were able to pay for it at, it had no money, which we didn't, but you could book it up. Tins of fruit, everyone was walking around with an open tin of fruit, eating peaches or pears, and offering the crew a peach or a pear. I think they were pretty lucky to see the end of the peaches and pears. Everyone wanted them to be eating it and enjoying it. Yes, it'd be about up past 9 a.m. in the morning when we landed in Alexandria.
What was the feeling like to be back in Alexandria?
Very happy.
Were you welcomed at all?
Oh, there were plenty of Wog kids knew we were coming. Everyone seemed to know more about the movement of troops than what we did.
How did the kids treat you?
Oh, hands out. Everyone was known as George. Thousands of Georges. How are you, George? Bucksheesh. Any coins you had? Oh, I'd polish your boots and things like that, dude.
How did the adult community treat you, do you think, on arrival?
They seem to avoid us as much as possible. I suppose they thought we were strangers in their land trying to take it over and weren't too happy about it. But to try and talk to them around Alexandria, they weren't fussy about talking to you or anything like that.
I understand you weren't staying in Alexandria for very long.
No.
What did you do?
Went on a bit of leave. As many troops as they could afford went on leave, I suppose. Actually just lolled around, had a rest.
Kilo 89, do you recall going there?
Yeah, Gaza.
What was that like at this point?
Oh, just We had a lot of nurses and things like that hanging around the place. It was a staging camp.
Must have been good to see nurses out for such a long time away.
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, they never wanted to come out of Tobruk in the first place, but they made them come out.
In relation to rest and recreation, leisure, presumably in camp, the general soldiering went on. What did that include at this point?
Very little drill or anything like that. It was more or less just a resting away from the war business, recuperating, I say, helping to recuperate.
You mentioned that your nerves weren't very good on return. Were you sort of placed in sort of rehabilitation, or were you given any sort of medical assistance?
No, just mostly Aspros, or Panadol, or whatever they called them.
In relation to the nurses, how was fraternization with them seen? Was it possible to go out on a date with them?
Oh, no, not as far as I know. I think the matrons and that at the hospitals were generally pretty strict. They knew where they were or where they should have been at the time. But I never heard of anyone that done any good with them. They had picture shows, open air picture show at night time. You could sit with the nurses. And if they had a liking to you, they'd sit with you and you could yarn, have a chat, but I never knew of anyone that went any further than that.
Must have been good just to have the female company,
sure. Oh, yes, it was. Yeah. Of course, they were well respected nurses. You never do anything against them if you use your head properly.
VAD?
Oh, yeah,
there's volunteer aid attachment.
They were treated just as well.
Did you know your future in relation to where you might head? For instance, might you be sent back to Tobruk?
No, we honestly thought that we were on our way back to Australia around that time. But
you were to be sent further north, I understand.
Yeah.
What did that involve?
Well, just a train journey, and we finished up in Lebanon.
Did you understand the importance of your position up there?
Yes, we were told that we were there for that Jerry might come down through Turkey, being friendly with Turkey, that he may come down through there and try and take the canal from that side instead of the desert side. But most of our time in Lebanon was spent in digging gun pits for the artillery and make it a front line up there, but he never come down through there.
This time must have been a certain degree of relaxation, even though you were preparing frontline positions.
Mm.
What was it like to be in the hills of Lebanon at this time?
Oh, it was real good. You could apply for leave, go to Syria, I went to Beirut, I'd look at that.
What was that like?
Very nice city, they called it a miniature Paris. Very nice place to visit.
How did the locals treat you and your presence there, do you think?
I don't think it worried them that we were there. They knew that if there was any trouble, we were there to help and kind of thing. But they never used to worry us. They were more or less... their argument at the time was against anything French. French police, gendarmes. There was always brawls in the city with them. They used to get dink and shooting one another too. Gendarmes were hated because it was a French possession. But we never wore any arms when we went on leave. We had nothing.
Nothing to worry about?
No. Well, we had no weapons either.
Did you sense a German sympathy at all with the locals?
No, I wouldn't say they had any sympathy for them. The main argument, as I say, I think was against the French for taking their country over. But they had no argument with us. We weren't there to take their country over. It had already been taken over by the French. They never gave us any worry.
As I understand, you're in the Lebanon over Christmas. Am I right?
Oh, could have been too.
What of the climate?
Hmm?
What of the climate at that time?
Oh, pretty good weather. Summery. Warm days.
Were you involved at all in the snow battalion that people talk about?
No, I didn't volunteer for that, but a few of my mates did. They went and learned how to skiing classes, but after they'd learned how to ski, they came back and rejoined the unit again.
Straight back to the desert.
And by that time we were all on the train, but we still thought that by telling us we were going back up the desert, that they might have been keeping it quiet, that we were coming back to Australia.
In relation to your position at this time, you mentioned snow. This, I assume, was the first time you'd ever seen snow. So how are you experiencing this world that you were seeing, do you think? Even if you'd been in Tobruk, how do you think you were finding the adventure at this stage?
Well, I think it was just a case of glad to be out of Tobruk, and Lebanon was a beautiful country to be in, kind of thing. People had their own properties, they had fowls and that, we'd buy eggs off them and gorge ourselves on eggs. And different life altogether than being in Tobruk.
As I understand, while you were up there as well, June of 42, well, actually, no, before we go there, December 41, the Japanese had entered the war. What have you heard of that?
Well, we were very worried there because we thought, well, Australia is going to be the ones that they take. All available men we reckon were already over in the desert, so there's no soldiers back at home to hold them back there. And we thought, well, we haven't got much faith in the POMs holding them in bloody Singapore, so Australia's sure to fall. That's what our thoughts were.
How has it seen that the Japanese had entered?
Well, we thought it was going to be a very hard job to beat them because there were that many troops that they could produce, and Hitler still had plenty of strength. Weren't worried about the Italians. We thought, well, they're not that good of fighters, but Germany and Japan are two huge nations that Australia could fall, especially to the Japanese.
Had you had much mail from home?
No. No, for some unknown reason, mail didn't seem to get through properly. I suppose troops on the move that much that couldn't catch up with them.
And in relation to the way the Prime Minister was operating as a result of the Japanese coming in, had you heard of Curtin's comments in relation to who his allegiance now lay with?
No, no.
I understand he was now looking towards America.
Mm-hmm.
Did the fact that the Japanese had come in sway you in relation to who you might go for?
Well, we were glad when we heard that America was starting to supply all our equipment and everything. And we thought, well, that'll counteract the Japs. And it'll be a good thing if they come into the war. But I've often wondered as to whether they would have come into the war if Japan hadn't come into the war.
Have you heard at all anything to do with the bombings that had taken place in Darwin, for instance, 19th
no.
February?
No.
Had you heard that Singapore had fallen, do you think?
Yeah, we heard Singapore had fallen. That they'd come round the back way through Borneo or some way they'd got in, and we thought, well, the silly buggers, they had big guns up there that were in emplacements that only pointed north, they couldn't shift them any other position. And we thought, well, that's brains for you, that is. But that's what it appeared to be. Their guns were useless to them.
In relation to what was to come next, obviously the morale, how would you have rated the morale at this point?
Pretty good.
So how was the morale, do you think, when you heard that Tobruk had finally fallen, June 42?
Oh, we were disgusted with that in a way because we did hear, I don't know whether it was true, but that the South Africans, instead of spiking the guns and making everything useless, just handed the whole lot over to Jerry and he could use it against us. Our own material. But as I say, we didn't have much time for the South Africans.